Welcome to LedgerCast. I'm Brian Krosgaard, here with Josh Ulswich. Hey, Josh.
Mr. Brian, good to be with you. Good to be with everyone in these turbulent, turbulent times.
It's tough out there.
We'll get into it, but in many ways, this was forecast for quite some time.
Yes, but I doubt, I mean, I have to even pull the chart up, actually, because I considered the Luna Watch experiment done because it went to zero. That is news, no matter what, no matter who.
Like, oh, I agree, but I don't even mean just Luna. Like, I've been talking about B-bands for a while. We've been talking about Luna's rising wedge for months, like, you know.
The FTX version of this chart is hilarious because it was only listed for a couple of months.
I don't know why it's listed anywhere right now. It needs to be delisted everywhere.
The chart I was watching, I can't see it anymore because I guess Binance delisted the Tether pair or something. I don't really know. And most of these other ones, I don't know. Anyway, that's unfortunate. This incredible history of chart is going to be lost as, you know, the thing went literally. Oh, here we go. There's Binance in the BUSD pair. So, Luna, let's just get it out, Josh. This is where we're going to start. Luna goes.
Let's just compare it to BitConnect, first of all. BitConnect was promising 10% yield, which I had to look this all up again because I didn't remember any of this. BitConnect was promising 10% yield, and they blew up at $2.4 billion. Anchor was promising 20%. They blew up at $27 to $30 billion, not even counting UST, not even counting any of the other stables that they had. They had, like, stable Korean won, or not stable, but Terra won, all sorts of currencies, right? Much smaller than UST, but also implicated in all this.
Sure. I mean, obviously, it is a different form of Ponzi, but it was what killed it was not that there's some Ponzi mechanism. What killed it was the reflexivity of the peg repair. So let's just leave that aside.
The Ponzi mechanism didn't help. The Ponzi mechanism is what made it so big, you know?
Sure. But anyway, all right. So Luna was 30 cents for plenty of days on public markets in 2020 and made a run from 20 cents to $120. Let's call it $120. Started to have some cracks, and then UST, the Luna-based Tether pair, or the Luna-based stablecoin. It's an algorithmic stablecoin where they were slowly trying to back it with Bitcoin, but its peg worked on a dual token repair mechanism that failed. And it started to depeg on UST, and then Luna started to get sold off. But point being, that went from being a problem to a big, big problem pretty quickly. And it looked like, oh yeah, you know, all back to normal. Congratulations. They figured it out to not so good as the peg started to break. And all these pairs are getting disappeared, so it makes it really difficult. But it went down to like 60-something on the first depeg after wobbling, and then repaired all the way back to about 95 cents on the dollar for UST. People did have a chance to escape there, but then it like fully disappeared. And that's when things got real bad. So Terra proceeded to utilize the dual token mechanism to try to repair the peg. The dual token mechanism allows people to redeem Luna for their UST for the value of a dollar. And it continues enabling them to do this arbitrage to get their dollar from Luna. So this feeding mechanism is what caused it to spiral, because as it wasn't fixing the peg enough because it required more and more money, it got worse and worse because Luna starts hyperinflating on a relative basis, and the lower the Luna price goes and the more the peg cannot be repegged and maintained, then that causes it to more aggressively die. So it became a death spiral. In hindsight, while Josh and I were like, no, not touching this, algo stable is dangerous, number up too high, not interested in Luna, whatever, there were more important critiques that existed in the market, which have now been like pretty well discovered. Some even quoted by like Du Quan, the owner of Terra Luna Labs or whatever the parent company is, the main person behind Luna, and where he said very demeaning things about the source of this person's critique. And then it appeared to be the attack that took Luna down followed that exact recipe. So like lots of hubris, and then since lots of humility amongst some of the investors, a lot of silence still out of many. So the peg did not get repaired. The people who should have gone in and I guess been the plunge protection team, it either wasn't enough or they had to stop, and it just cascaded. And for the first time in my memory, literally something, it didn't quite rug, it just went to zero. The mechanism for trying to repair it, I guess, worked. It just didn't actually work, but the mechanism attempted to do what it was supposed to do. Obviously, it wasn't like somebody just walked with the funds, or at least we don't think so. But the whole mechanism was so reflexive that it forced Luna to hyperinflate, forced it to go to zero as this arbitrage continued. And a $40 billion fully diluted market cap coin is gone. To the question, not laughing, I'm not laughing at it. I'm trying to express it. Some of these things are comical in their ridiculousness. So, people got screwed in so many ways. I mean, tens of billions of dollars.
That's the difference, by the way, between this and BitConnect. BitConnect was mostly retail, as far as I know. Whereas this is implicating hedge funds, VCs, touches lots and lots of crypto companies.
Some of the largest too. I mean, like Galaxy, right. 3AC, Delphi, Arca were probably the biggest names that I know, but like a lot of people. And the moons are disappearing out of profile handles, the logos disappearing from websites. And there was a lot of debate amongst more sophisticated investors about the mechanism and design of the system that was largely ignored as number go up. And then it got attacked or some way wobbled and was vulnerable, but it appears to be someone actually tried to someone may have triggered this. And then this happened. And I mean, people have killed themselves over this. It's not, that's gross. People have gone broke over this. It's all of this is terrible. But what we're seeing is the fragility of a system that was super hyped. That fragility gets exposed, and then it just expresses itself in a way that is so difficult to comprehend. How something can go lose 100% of your investment, not only in the token, but also in the stablecoin. For most people, many people lost 100% on the stablecoin side of it as well. I even heard today people that were LPing UST with some other stablecoin. Well, if UST loses its peg completely, then you essentially still lose 100%, even though half your stables were in something better. So it's just really devastating for the ecosystem. Definitely brings mainstream criticisms. Josh, what am I missing here?
Yeah, I mean, what can you, like I said on Twitter yesterday, what can you say that hasn't already been said? The people that were warned about it either listened or didn't. The people who had no clue are probably hurting the most, right? Because they sort of tossed in everything, assuming everything's going to be fine forever. If yields are too good to be true, usually they are. Usually something happens. I mean, what else can you say, right? Like, regulations are coming around this for sure. stablecoin reserves are being put into question, which is good. This is stress testing USDT. Yeah, this is stress testing.
It's good, but it's also a completely different thing. It's a completely different thing.
Right.
This is out.
Right, it's
a failed mechanism versus other, like, normal stablecoins are backed by dollars, paper, something. And they don't have this, like, this cyclical reflexive redemption mechanism to try to repeg. They are just dollars. And Tether briefly lost its peg by a few cents because of panic, and believe it was
well, here's the other thing about pegs people have to understand. I've been saying this since like 2018, okay? The peg is not the redemption rate. You have to understand that, which Calamita knew this. They cleaned up, I'm sure they made hundreds of millions, I'm assuming, on people panicking and or people having to sell their Tether to cover all their positions, collateral, right? It's a general liquidity crunch, and then you see everything going out of whack all over the place. It to me, I think it was forced selling, right? Like, that's really what it came down to, because you're not going to sell that. Are you going to sell at a $600 million loss out of Tether if you're concerned it's going to zero?
I think
versus redeeming it to with the company?
I think there was an hour or two of panic from people that didn't know the difference. But nevertheless,
yeah, just Alameda, because we do doesn't mean everybody does. I agree, but
yeah, Alameda went and cleaned this up. They bought a crap ton of it and redeemed it and got their dollar for it. Made their 3-4% in a day.
But you'd think people at that size would understand what they're dealing with, and if they didn't like Tether, they can just go to Tether when they open, you know, or message them on Telegram or whatever, right? And say, hey, I want to redeem, and they say, okay. So yeah, it's different, but at the same time, I don't know what Tether reserves are other than what they tell me, you know, that's just how it is, right?
Yeah.
So of course people are going to get kind of scared off about that. USDC went to 114 on Binance.
Yeah. Well, some stuff's going to happen just because billions and billions of dollars are stress testing liquidity itself in these, even if the, like, the backing is fine. Like, to get from one to the other, there's still trading pairs, there's pools that these function through.
You had the curve pool way out of whack as USDT was blowing up, or UST was blowing up, sorry. USDT pool, the three pool, was massively out of whack on that liquidity crunch the other day. It was like 3 a.m. EST or something when it happened. It's still recovering. You've got the staked ETH Lido pool that's teetering below 95% peg right now. Like, we're still, it's just still reeling with whatever happened, you know, from Luna and UST.
Yeah. Nevertheless, just want to bring this up. It's obviously disgusting. I think Du Quan's hubris throughout is really revealing. Like, search his Twitter timeline for poor or something like that, and it's just him constantly mocking others. Any critiques, he just mocked. It's hard to feel bad that he got wrecked amongst all of this, but you'd never root for this, even amongst like a scam, because whether it's a scam, whether it was hubris, whether it was a black swan, whatever route, a lot of innocent people got wrecked, people that were relatively uneducated. And this is just a sign, even if something is a top 10 crypto or whatever you want to look at it. Like, I think it's safe. Being all in on these things is very stupid. Basically being all in on anything in crypto is very stupid. So, yeah, if you are hurt by this, if you are lost at all by this, don't hurt yourself. And then my other encouragement would be just don't, kind of don't lose your spirit for it. You know, you got into crypto for a reason. You took a lump and you can rebuild. A lot of people I know went completely broke and then made it all back and then some. So very sorry that it happened, but here we are. Amidst that, related for sure, there was definitely some significant impacts on the rest of the market due to Luna. The rest of the market wasn't in a strong place anyway. Legacy.
We can take it back to this. again, say what you want about TA. I don't care what anybody says about TA. I know what it was telling me and what it told me leading up to this moment, right? It, similar to 2018, it took like stuff blowing up literally to like actually break down. We're back at 30K. It's whatever now, but it's not a good look price-wise to see like legacy semi-collapsing around us for the seventh week in a row. Terra obviously blowing up. And seeing Tether get questioned, seeing all this DeFi stuff get put into question. Yeah, that's if you're looking for reasons to capitulate externally, right? Like that's what it takes.
Yeah,
to actually break down
the combination of contagion and correlation from legacy markets just smoked crypto. I mean, lost the levels that we talked about that were important, and then I mean, I couldn't even believe it. We went all the way down to 25, 4, 17, 78 on Coinbase. So, you know, 25, 5 overnight, I was sleeping. I would have definitely bought ETH in the 1700s. Missed that. The question now is like, you know, what do we do now? Do you get a chance? Are we going to revisit the lows? Are we going to make new lows? Is it Goblin Town forevermore? You know, people want to know what's next. Is this going to be a waterfall cascade? We'll never have a chance to buy again at those lows. Everybody has lots of questions. And we're going to try to answer those. We're going to try to give our opinions on what the future of the market looks like. Josh, do you think there's any chance that, any good chance that the low was already made in Bitcoin and bear market over?
So historically, lows for crypto have not been V-bottoms. They have not been quick, other than COVID, which I think you could say is an outlier. It's a special situation. This is an N of what, three we're talking about here? So it's not like we have strong data to support anything. But if you're thinking, okay, I'm not going to get a chance, you know, I see people talking about generational Pico bottom, whatever. Like, you'll have time. That's my view. Like, we're going to have plenty of time to decide whether or not this is a bottom. You're not going to be missing out on anything, right? That's why, like we talked about last week about DCA, wasn't investment advice, still isn't. But, you know, long-term DCA, set it, forget it, do something else for 6 to 18 months, right? Like, that's where we're at in the market, in my head. We hit the S1 yearly pivot, great. You know, the levels haven't changed as far as the 200-week moving average. The same stuff we're looking at. MVRV is still very important. Indicator for me. I'll bring that up in a second. But all the same stuff is equally valid as it was before we broke down. You know, that's my view on it anyway.
Yeah, can you?
And now, if we get below 20, then I think we start running into trouble as additional things start unraveling. You know, leveraged loans for businesses, that sort of thing.
Can you zoom in on that S1 a little bit? We had somebody mention us on Twitter and they were like, y'all are definitely going to talk about this, aren't you? Yeah, we are. We've talked about pivots a ton often.
Well, there's a reason, again, for people who like haven't been here a while, there's a reason I talk about the stuff I talk about all the time. It's always the same. It doesn't really change because I've been here for years. I've used a bunch of stuff. I've seen what works. I've seen what doesn't. I've seen what's subjective and what isn't. This works for me, right? And here we are. There's your stab at the yearly pivot. Certainly not a definite indicator of a bottom, but we did hit that level just as we knocked it on the way up at 48 and didn't breach it. So,
yeah.
You know, what else do you say? It prints January 1st. It's based on math. It's based on the highs and lows of the previous year. If we break this S1, then yeah, 6K, sure, right? Like, if this, then that. I don't like that level or price, but
yeah. The lower supports tend to get broken when the previous year was like super parabolic. But you've got the 200 weekly there. That's is and has been my North Star. A little interesting to see kind of where we're at right now. I personally could see a scenario where we make lower lows over a couple of weeks as you attempt to have buy the dippers come in and step in, and maybe you even succeeds. Maybe you get to like 40K. But I I think that the likelihood is we will make some kind of low, fill the wick, retest something that the people who were bought 25, 26K will at minimum sweat it. That said, it's a very capitulation style candle. At the same time that the Dixie on a weekly basis, it looks fabulous. But, you know, been saying it looks toppy over and over again, and those dips keep getting bought. But, you know, looks toppy again on mid time frames. You look at Legacy, in many ways, it looks like it kind of had its own, at least minor capitulation. A lot of Legacy stocks just got crushed.
Well, to talk about macro backdrop, whatever, inflation's still just as bad as it was. Rates are still probably continuing to increase at the same speed, right? So as you might, not you, but people in general might be thinking, oh, this is the bottom, this is capitulation, whatever. If we're still tied to Legacy and Legacy still collapses in the next 3 months, right? Like, that's when we're going to find out how much of a bottom this really is. If people could reaccumulate down here, have a chance to reaccumulate down here versus like dealing with external macro stuff, you know, if we can decouple from TradFi or not, because that's why we keep talking about the DXY and SPX and NASDAQ, whatever else, right? It's such a high correlation right now.
Right. I, like I said, I will buy the 200 week. I think it's not unlikely at all that it wicks below that, but I think it's totally fine laddering your buys. Basically, if you want anything under 30K, you know, ladder them, DCA.
Yeah, I mean, we said that, it's, again, we say this like every week, right? Nothing has changed. The style and strategy has not changed. The plan has not changed, you know. Take it slow. DCA, here's some unsolicited, unprofessional advice, okay? Don't throw all your money at one thing, thinking you're going to be a hero, picking the bottom. Like, this is not how this works, people. Like, just take your time.
Yeah.
Go enjoy your summer.
I mean, you could imagine the world where you buy every single one of these, right? And you know what? Depending on how you spread it out, how you structure it, if the candles start filling them, then you're going to get whatever the average is of that. That's what DCA means. So if it fills all of them, if it fills some of them, the difference is if it doesn't get down there, then you have a smaller position and you'll have to figure out at some point above, do you want to do more? But at the same time, like, it could spend a lot of time in there, and
right,
you just are patient. You just,
which
are
is
patient.
Why this is not a leveraged situation for most people. Okay. Most people trading leverage here are going to get completely obliterated.
Like, if it does this type of move, great. You got completely filled. But even if it doesn't, even if it does this, it's probably not going to do this.
Right. It's not going to go to the moon without you. I promise. I promise you that.
And if it does, you can find like breakout levels to the top side. But yeah, the likelihood is you have time. Now, another component to consider here is on a relative basis. And I think it's worth mentioning. We're looking at, I'll do it on Sol BTC. We've been using Solana as kind of a altcoin, you know, darling to watch. This could still go down, you know, like
the last. Yeah, I mean, it's still up how much percentage from 2021?
A lot.
Like 10,000%?
Yeah, this is 2021. It's up 1,850%.
Yeah.
So from, yeah, it's up a lot relative to Bitcoin. But the broader point is, even if Bitcoin goes down, the difference between Bitcoin down like 60-70% and an altcoin down 95% is gigantic in terms of your relative buying power. So, you know, you have time to be patient. The most money is made later in the bull market anyway. I have pointed out these, like, looks good at this level, which is like 50. It also looks good at 27. Huge range. You lose 50% if it goes to both and you bought the top. But I think this type of outcome is likely for Solana. I've been saying that for weeks, and then it spiked down to $35, like midway through that range, which amazed me.
Again, well, something else to realize for a lot of these coins, this is their first true real deal bear market, you know? So we get to see, you know, who's got the long-term survivability lasting power in this sort of scenario.
That's right. And
so I love this. I love this for these layer one alternatives, right? Like, let's see what they're really made of, right? Let's see what happens, what breaks. Let's see if Polkadot has the distance with all this VC backing. Let's see if Solana can maintain a network that's actually running for more than a week, right? Like, let's see it, you know? Let's see it. I love it. I love the stress testing of all this stuff.
I guess how I would summarize partially is to say, like, yeah, you get 3.8% on a day like today in Bitcoin. And at the same time, if you bought the lows, you're getting some of these were, I mean, they're already fading half their wins of the day. But some of these were up 15 to 25% on the day. So there is upside potential that on a quick basis, for altcoins versus like Bitcoin and Ethereum. The likelihood is though that your percentage down move is going to be much smaller from here to whatever the bottom is on Bitcoin and on Ethereum. And then there'll be a more obvious time, in my opinion, in terms of like where it's best to have your like significant altcoin exposure, risk on appetite. Somebody responded to my point last night where if we take this candle, is it the beginning of this 2-3 week capitulation like this? If you're going to try to say all cycles are the same, which they're not, then whatever. The most money across the ecosystem happened like in this, right? This is DeFi summer, for instance. DeFi summer kicked off many people's fortunes. DeFi summer, and then, you know, Bitcoin moves, and then altcoins moon in all of 2021. So, like, even if you bought here instead of here, but then you were active in the ecosystem, you probably still made most of your money in 2021. So that's a lot of time to just...
What you're saying, here's what you're saying. Let me just summarize. You're saying time in the market beats timing the market. That's what you're saying.
Yes, unless you're buying Pico tops.
Of course, but...
Yeah. But generally...
People have to realize, like, when there's a time to take the short-term stance versus the much longer-term stance, that now is not the time to take a short-term stance, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to encourage someone, if they think they just missed it or they have to FOMO or whatever, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm only going to have one day to buy any attractive price.
I mean, look at the 2015 bear market. Look at coming out of that. We had a year of sideways and then another 250 days of an ascending triangle. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, people, yeah, you'll have plenty of time to figure stuff out. I guarantee.
And in
2018, we had that ascending triangle that lasted how many days, right? 200, I don't think it was 250, but. Like, there will be signs. There will be plenty of time.
Yeah, and I have this circled because this would also be a painful scenario. You know, like, it is the low. You retest it once, but then you're like super sideways for months, literally a year. That is a year in a grinding the 200 week moving average type of zone. There's a lot of ways to get people out of the market. That's definitely one of them. So yeah, we're not trying to predict exactly what's going to happen. Is that the Pico bottom or not? I doubt it's the Pico bottom, and I doubt that you're going to be left in the dust and the market will run away without you. And oh my gosh, you just were in crypto this whole time and now you're unexposed and you are going to miss $500,000 Bitcoin or whatever other thing you wanted.
Well, there are like check boxes that I liked seeing over the past week. Like, I liked seeing an actual catalyst to bring us lower. I like seeing miners sell a bunch of coin, which they have been based on-chain evidence. I liked seeing inflows into institutional vehicles like ETFs. The Purpose ETF apparently had all-time high inflows this week. You know, I haven't completely verified that, but you know, I like seeing the distribution of massive whales to lesser whales at the very least, right? Because you don't want this situation where we're sitting at some level at the 200 week moving average, right? And then all of a sudden miners start to capitulate and network starts to fail. Like, you don't want to wait till that point, right? Like, it's good that all this stuff's happening now as price is starting to unravel. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Like, seeing all that happen is good. I think daily RSI could definitely go lower, but something to watch for there would be a bull div, even something as simple as that. I mean, look at 2018, right? That RSI got to 9.7. We're currently at 25, so potentially a ways to go there. But yeah, take your time, people. You know, everything's going to be okay. We've been here before. We'll be here again.
That said, we are in the green part of the two-year MA there.
Yeah, I mean, the network hasn't changed, right? Fundamentally, nothing is... ETH's still going to be ETH. BTC's going to be BTC. ETH's still going to have a merge. Some of these layer ones may do better than others. You know, like, people are going to be here.
All right. So here we go. If markets were as simple as you guys paint them, then we would all be rich. You had... Like, if you've been in the market for any period of time for the past few years, then you've made pretty good money. So what do you want us to say?
Like, yeah, I know. I don't know what to say to that.
We are saying, for the patient investor in a burgeoning asset class, then yes, if you spend enough time in the market and use your head, then you will make money. So if you're having a problem with that, then try something different. No offense.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. But yeah.
I don't even know.
Are people saying, like, this can't be a bottom because people haven't capitulated yet? People are still talking about buying the bottom. I think sentiment is could go lower for sure, but it's definitely pretty low.
Yeah. Yeah. The hard part in any of these scenarios, just like I gave in that Solana example, is if there's a lot of downside left, if you're deploying capital fully right now, or if you're still in and haven't capitulated, you know, whatever, then you it could be really hard to essentially eat that next 50% haircut, right? Like, because, you know, you go down 50%, you need 100% to gain it back. So in the case that we do go down lower, then it makes it harder and harder to gain that back, or it takes more time in the market. So I think just having capital available to take full advantage of wherever it does bottom and build your stack over time is going to be something that you appreciate. I think, like, to one of our friends, shout out Crypto Jack, has done a great job. He bought like the Pico lows. He had limit orders set at like 25.5, 26, 26.5. So he got like his first fills. He has orders lower too, but he's called the market really well. And I just want to give him a shout out, because like then he was like, well, I stuck to the plan, and you know, now I'm partially back in and reduced my cost basis significantly because he was selling at much higher levels. So I wanted to commend him on that. And then like, that's how you approach the market, right? When it's, who is it? Somebody just told me something about, you know, realizing the fact that you're in a bear market. If you're not in an up only market, then you don't have to FOMO in because it's going up every single week. You're giving the market time to repair itself. So yeah,
it's simple. Like, you want a litmus test? You want the easiest litmus test in the world? Are we above or below the 20-week moving average? That's all you need. Are we above or below the 200-day moving average? Yeah. That's all you need. Are we above or below the daily cloud? That's all you need. Yeah, like, pick one of those. Use all three of them.
We're trend traders. Like, we both trade trends. The trend is...
Yeah, that's been bearish for a little while now, right? Like, no shocking surprise there. So that all that's telling you is the likelihood of down is more than the likelihood of up, you know? Ultimately, that's what the trend is telling you.
I need to look up Crypto Jack's channel, and I would show it. I follow it. I just got to find it somewhere. So I'll try to do that before we get off the air. But if you just look up Crypto Jack, and I think it's a zero on the Jack or on the crypto, something like that. He's great. He's in here often. So, oh, there it is. Look at that. Thank you. It's just Crypto Jack spelled normally. Yeah. So check out Crypto Jack. Does a great job. All right, so Josh,
Real quick, before we get off BTC, one other thing you can look for is MVRV, Mary Victor RV Victor, to help decide where we're at in the cycle. Because, again, historically, this is an N of 4, very much like the 200-week moving average, but this is looking at market cap versus actual on-chain movements of coins. When the market cap has exceeded those on-chain movements by several multiples, then that has been the top. When we basically reset that completely and are kind of sitting in that area for quite some time, that has been the bottom. Wow. Aside from COVID, where we V-bottomed out of that. When on-chain, like realizing losses or whatever, exceeds the market cap, then that's typically when we actually find a bottom.
That's a very cool chart. Thank you. MVRV.
Yep.
All right. Crypto adjacent. This has been, this is an incredible chart, Josh. You know which one I'm going to show you? Do you know? He doesn't know.
Sorry, I was muted. No, I don't.
It's a Coinbase chart. Full capitulation mode on Coinbase. It was literally melting every day prior to earnings, and then went down bad during earnings, and then yesterday went from 41 to 60 in one day on recovery, and then today it's back at 72, which is a pre-earnings number. So it's up like 90% off the bottom. 82% off the bottom. And
it was melting. They have earnings that are terrible, and then they come out with this change in their 10Q form saying basically not your keys, not your coins. If we go bankrupt, your coins are ours. And then people are like losing their
we're gonna lose our coins. You're not gonna lose your coins on Coinbase, but it was good fun.
But no, it's good. Like, yes, get your coins off exchanges, people. Get them off. Put them somewhere else. Put them on a hardware wallet, right? Like, get them off exchanges.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're going to blow up, but why expose yourself to that risk?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
Kathy Wood of ARK, she bought a bunch at the bottom, apparently.
Yeah. They added another 500 or 600,000 shares. I added multiple shares of Coinbase. I bought after hours after earnings, so I was down bad because I bought it at like 64. But I just honestly I didn't even see it when it was in the 40s. You know, so I'm back in profit, baby. But I actually thought from a pure valuation perspective, Coinbase was cheap at $100, like really cheap. Coinbase was feeling it. SBF bought some.
I mean, that's Coinbase is a great example of this parabolic down move that we're just seeing. Like, turn on ETH on the daily or BTC on the daily, you get this parabolic down move, and eventually it just can't sustain itself, right? Like, that's what capitulation looks like right there. Volume peaking to like infinity, price dropping 50%. like that's what it looks like when you're looking for capitulation.
Similar for Robinhood, it broke down significantly and it's up a ton today. And that is actually based on crypto news because SBF bought a 7.5% share in Robinhood. So this will help them get stocks on their platform. The 200-day moving average just showed up for Robinhood up here at 25. It's at 10. So it's a 2.5x to get to its 200-day moving average. That's how horribly down it is since its IPO. Naturally, this was also like a market participant IPO. Body close to body close, it went down 89%. So I am going to go ahead and assume that Sam bought the bottom on this.
I mean, people say this about people. It's like, no, he wasn't the bottom. He made the bottom.
I am the wick.
He was the reason there was an Adam, right?
Yeah. I honestly like some of the stuff that has crypto exposure, but it's a stock with earnings. I mean, if I'm going something different or diversified slightly from like crypto majors, in my mind, cheap stocks that work on infrastructure and crypto make sense. Coinbase, to a degree, Robinhood, maybe some others. I don't know. I don't know what happened with Galaxy Digital. but they got hit horribly by the Luna stuff, and it looks like it went way down to $6, and it's back at $8.80. Somebody asked us to look at that. I don't know.
Well, a lot of this traditional stuff retraced to its COVID breakout level.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, like, yeah.
So
yeah.
Crypto, I'm
just looking at the crypto specific ones.
Most of crypto has not retraced that far. MSTR did. People are asking about that in the chat. But a lot of these like NASDAQ stocks have retraced. Netflix, Facebook, right? ARK. Like, they're down worse than crypto for sure.
Yeah, ARK went to levels that it had previously reached in 2017. And then it went sideways in 2017 through 2020, basically. But it retraced the entire COVID pump, and it was one of the hottest stocks of 2020. And it looks like it's got a bottom wick there to me. Like, some of these I'd be a little more comfortable taking a position in and just holding it if I felt like the bottom was in on some of that. Now, whether it's actually in, I don't know. You know, the stock market could obviously...
But again, that volume is crazy.
Crazy high.
It's about probability too. Like, what's the probability that next week you're going to see more volume than the previous week? You know,
right?
And like that volume is insane.
The thing that I think is less likely is that you're going to see, like, say from those lows, another 50%, another 80% from the highs. You know, I'm not saying these are the most attractive things to be in, but. So, you know, some of these are not bad, I guess is my point, from a risk profile perspective. Like, if you like something when it's at, you know, price to sales of 100, then maybe you'll like it when it's price to sales of like 6, you know, just as a side note.
Yeah. You know, it's as terrible as these charts look, we still have that legacy bearish, whatever you want to call it. You know, with the Fed, that is not going to end anytime soon.
Yeah. GBTC and ETH, we got asked about. I think they all blew the spreads out as wide as you can possibly go. Like, I don't even know what percentage below the NAV they got. It was bad. This is at its 200-week moving average. GBTC is well below its 2017 highs, which is brutal. Considering the price difference of Bitcoin itself, things worth noting there. The S&P as a whole creating a little bit of a wick to end the week. That doesn't mean the pain is over. I wouldn't be surprised by like 2 months of consolidation though. After 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of selling in a row, we're talking about this on Weekly Open on Monday. The number of weeks in a row of down market are basically the most since 2008. And so there's a lot of fear and negative sentiment in the market. That's just stuff we want to highlight.
I mean, if you want to talk about the NASDAQ, the weekly cloud, the weekly cloud edge-to-edge move has been hit. Tag. The target is complete.
Nailed it. But you look at that and what's your inclination from there? It's going to dance around in the cloud for a couple months, you know?
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
I agree.
So maybe there's room for some relief. I don't know if that means it's like bottom in forever, up only from here. That probably requires the Fed to change their outlook. You mentioned CPI was still very high, like over 8%. The Fed has indicated 50 basis point hikes in for quite a while, and QT will actually finally start
that's
a month from now. Is that right?
That's the other thing, yeah.
Yeah, so you go from like a natural lift to a natural depression on the market. Not depression, you know what I mean. A natural headwind. Rather than a natural tailwind from assets coming off the Fed balance sheet. So, it very much felt like capitulation. Like when you're just, you can't get your eyes off the screen type of stuff and the volume is magnificent. That doesn't mean crypto is going to follow exactly what stocks do. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. Well,
Legacy seemed more capitulatory than crypto. Crypto That's, seemed like forced selling to me. Like, when there's people selling their Tether at a loss because they have to.
Right.
Or because they're afraid, that's definitely unusual.
My gut, you know, personally would be that stocks bottom before crypto here, that there's still room for crypto to have a hard time, where some of those things capitulated so strongly in the stock market that they could go sideways, or, you know, bad days in crypto end up being worse than bad days in legacy for a little while, and that creates a divergence there. It's just my personal opinion, gut. I don't know that it's true. I would be kind of surprised if we've made the bottom in Bitcoin that we'll consolidate out of for 6 months, you know. I feel like there's a likelihood that there's still repair to do in the market.
Sure, but like, we know what to look for. We know that there are chart patterns up the yin yang yet to be developed, potentially, right?
Yeah.
Inverted head and shoulders, ascending triangle. Like, we are in the very early stages of figuring out what any of that's going to be, what if it's going to be a bottom.
Right.
If it's not a V bottom, which I don't think it's going to be, we got tons of time to figure out, right?
Yep.
And alts, ETHBTC even got slaughtered.
It did.
Which is kind of surprising, but do I have that on here somewhere? Let me pull it up. It
went straight to the diagonal, which is funny. I'd be impressed if this still broke out. Like, it just looks like it wants to break hearts, as in go to the downside. I tweeted that, and somebody was like, giving me a hard time. I was like, I didn't say I thought it was breaking up. I think, anyway, it wouldn't surprise me if it went back below 0.055.
This is going to sound stupid, but if it doesn't break down, it's 100% breaking up.
Wait, like, you're saying sideways is done.
No, I'm saying, like, in a vacuum, this chart pattern breaks up 100%, like, no doubt in my mind. With the merge coming, potentially by the end of the year, like, there's a catalyst. Like, if you need one, that's fundamental, you know.
I just think if we have more pain in the market broadly, that this has a good chance of doing the, like, quick breakdown, fat, and then hard recovery, you know.
Well, ETH just needs to not fall apart on the DeFi side of things, and it probably is okay, right? Because it hit the level that we talked about last week, 1800. You know, that I think that level,
17 something. Which,
yeah, it went lower for sure. But
I wish I captured that.
That level is just based on BPVR stuff. You know, just the range, right? And it's also the range low. Take your pick, right?
Yeah.
But yeah,
don't lose too much heart. You know, got time. If this is your this is your first time, then now you know what it feels like. You earned some stripes.
We've all been here. I've certainly been here. Please, like, you think this is bad? Think this is bad?
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, fair enough. But I don't want to pull a, you know, back in my day, I walked uphill both ways in the snow or anything, but, you know. This is nothing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here. Pleasure. Go follow Josh at Carpe Noctem on Twitter, YouTube, wherever.
Yeah, come watch my videos at Valkyrie's YouTube channel as well. I do weekly analysis there.
We'll see you next time.
Just run dry.